Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Here with me in studio is our own Radio Boston's Chris Sidorek. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Tiziana. I wanted to stop by today because I wanted to. I feel like we could all use a chance to remember simpler times.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This
please,
has become
Chris.
So all-consuming. So I'm going to take us way, way, way back, all the way back to last December.
That's so far. So you have been telling me for months now that you are going to turn me into a Bruins fan. Go for it.
The bottom line is this is a truly exciting team. And if you remember, at the very beginning of this season, we checked in on the Bruins.
We did.
And I was a little hesitant. You could hear it in my voice.
You said you were a jilted lover.
Yes, that's what it feels like. It feels like a scorned lover. And that is because this team went so deep last year. They went to a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I wanted to highlight that because obviously things have changed a little bit. And you can hear even just the tone of our voices. Things were a lot lighter, obviously, right?
Yes.
But that is now has gone out the window, obviously. We're looking at a landscape with no sports. And I think it's worth reflecting on kind of what that means and the importance that sports do occupy in our life, especially in a time where we really are kind of looking for a distraction.
There was a really bittersweet moment earlier this week, Chris. We were getting ready for the show, and you kind of gave this sad sound, and I turned to you and asked you what had happened.
Yeah, and I knew it wasn't a story that mattered in any consequential way. Obviously, everything that everyone is dealing with right now is so much more important than the world of sports. But that said, on Wednesday, the Garden melted the ice sheet. I don't know how many folks know this, but throughout the hockey season, they maintain that sheet of ice. It's 85 feet by 200 feet. It's not easy to create that ice sheet, especially as we head towards warmer times. So
in that moment, that clip that you just played where you were going to make me love the Bruins, who were kind of at the top of hockey and at the top of their season.
Not kind of, were.
I think you were basically telling me they're not coming back.
Well, it's... No, that's not official. And obviously, both the NHL and the NBA are looking for ways to bring back either a condensed rest of regular season and playoffs, to come up with some sort of way to play games over the summer at some point, probably with no fans in attendance. So we're still waiting on official word from the leagues. But in terms of hockey, as it is, Stanley Cup playoffs go into May and early June usually. And even last year, basically any time the Bruins have been in the finals, there is a hard time maintaining that ice sheet. So the fact that it is now gone, to regenerate that, refreeze that ice sheet in the summer would be challenging. It's not impossible, but it's challenging.
So when you told me that, for me, what it really evoked was that the intersection between the world that we're living in now, which is something that really, I think, was unimaginable to the two people who were talking about whether or not I was going to fall in love with the Bruins back in December, has become, it's a bitter pill.
Yeah.
And sometimes what sports did and can do for us is create a little bit of sweet. And I wonder if we don't have any moments now without our teams playing, is there any way to still get that sweet out of sports?
So I want to talk about kind of what sports mean culturally from a big picture point of view, and then I'll tell you specifically what I've been doing to scratch the itch, because I think there are a lot of folks out there who are craving any sort of live sports action. But I couldn't help think back. We've talked from a news point of view how the energy around this moment feels similar. Obviously, the stories are different. The events are different. But feels similar to a 9/11 type moment where our country is faced with just an enormous problem that we have to deal with, an enormous traumatic event. And sports was a force to bring us back together. 5 days after 9/11, they were playing baseball again.
Was it really that soon after?
Yeah. And it became a thing that people rallied around. And I think most people probably remember in the World Series that year that you had the Yankees playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. Game three, the first game in Yankee Stadium, George Bush threw out the first pitch of that game. And it was a national moment. It was something that everyone, regardless of your politics, regardless of your place in our society, like we all just felt in that moment. I mean, it's the Yankees we're talking about, right?
Right,
it's crazy, here in, Boston,
crazy here in Boston.
But it really was such a microcosm of the American spirit.
Well, and what that's making me think of is after the gut-wrenching devastation of the Boston Marathon bombing, baseball was delayed. randomly, my family had tickets to what turned out to be the first game that was played when baseball came back after the Boston Marathon bombing, which, of course, is the famous one where Big Poppy said, "This is our blanking city."
Yeah.
We were in the stands. And
I bet you have goosebumps right now
I
just
do.
Talking
I mean,
about
I'm
it.
I'm a little bit choked up about it right now just because it's baseball, right? But it was also a way for us to be together. I mean, that's where the concept of Red Sox Nation came from.
And Boston Strong kind of spun into that, too. I think it's... I'll say it this way. There's nothing that has made me high-fived more strangers, and maybe I'll have to rethink that practice going forward. But
virtual high-five works fine.
Right. Then watching games and coming together with people that you have maybe nothing else in common with, but you have this one connection, and it is truly a deep connection. I think it is something that really does bring people together.
And then back to the bitter. What was yesterday?
Yesterday would have been opening day.
Yeah.
And so you saw a lot of folks on Twitter kind of marking that moment and wearing their jerseys and kind of talking about that. I thought it was interesting because you mentioned bittersweet. Baseball has done a pretty decent job in terms of thinking about this and trying to figure out a workable solution. They've talked about what a condensed season might look like, extra doubleheaders, shorter games. But they also reached an agreement with the Players Association this week that – essentially says, regardless of whether or not we play any games this year, that counts as a year of service on your contract. And so I think that is interesting that they've opened the door at least to, look, we don't know what the future holds. It's possible this season could be a wash. We're working with you to figure out how we move forward as a league.
So that, again, I think is bitter in some ways. But there is a sweet that happened with basketball and Anthony Fauci this week.
I love this. So on Instagram Live, Steph Curry, who even most non-basketball fans, I think, would recognize, sat down with Anthony Fauci and did a live Q&A, basically a half hour taking people's questions and just talking about all the specific information that folks needed. I just want to play a little bit of that. It was about getting useful information out, but it was also about reaching a demographic that maybe hasn't been as plugged into the story as some of us.
You get infected, you feel well, and then you inadvertently and innocently pass it on to your grandfather, your grandmother, or your uncle who's on chemotherapy for cancer. That's what we got to be careful of.
And that's really one of the reasons that I wanted to have this Q&A and hopefully reach a different demographic.
So here's what went through my head when I first heard that Steph Curry and Anthony Fauci had done this.
You mean after the, wait, what? What?
Yeah,
what's happening?
Well, that is true. I'm like, I'm sorry, what did you say?
How did that come up? Yeah.
No, that is true. That was actually my first response. My second response was the collective anger that the nation expressed after seeing spring breakers down in Miami.
Yeah.
Not practicing social distancing and being very cavalier.
Right.
And when you say reaching a population who maybe weren't paying attention to what's happening the way they should, this feels like somebody using their platform for exactly that purpose.
Well, it just shows you the way that athletes and teams can kind of resonate in people's lives, even in non-sports ways. He had almost 50,000 concurrent viewers on that. It's got more than 220,000 views on YouTube from the CDC official feed. I'm sure there's other feeds of it out there as well. So it's great that he used his platform to help get really useful information out there to the public, I think.
All right. So I want to go back for one more bittersweet to hockey.
Okay.
And specifically to the closing of the TD Garden as a result of sports. And you can lay both the bitter and the sweet on us about that one.
Yeah, the bitter, we kind of chatted a little bit earlier, is a little bit frustrating because it's been a running theme. Jeremy Jacobs, the owner of the Bruins, in his early days as the owner, and by early days, I mean the first couple of decades, essentially, of owning the Bruins, he's known for not spending a lot of money. The Bruins, he's the last owner in the NHL to announce any sort of plan for compensation for part-time employees due to this canceled season. And on Wednesday this week, he announced that they were laying off 68 full-time workers. 82 were receiving indefinite reduction of pay.
Oh.
And they get 1 week of pay and 8 week of benefits. I mean, just a brutal time. Jacobs, by the way, according to Forbes, is worth $3.3 billion.
All right, that's bitter. So now you got to give me some sweet from the world of sports.
There have been lots of teams that have stepped up and done the right thing. The Celtics are one of those teams. They've announced that they're going to be paying all their part-time game day employees. And there's actually been a GoFundMe account that a lot of Bruins players specifically have contributed to and publicized to help make sure those people can make ends meet during
All right. In our last 30 seconds or so, I want you to tell us a little bit about Drew Brees. Food pantries, I used to run Catholic Charities. We had a huge network of food pantries. Food is dear to my heart.
Yeah, this is a sweet one, too. $5 million Drew Brees and his wife have pledged to the state of Louisiana. He says it's going to help prepare and deliver over 10,000 meals a day throughout the state, specifically children and meal programs, seniors, and families in need. So kudos, Drew Brees.
There you go. It's a different kind of checking the score with Chris Sitterick today. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And over the next few weeks, we will look at other parts of our cultural landscape and how they're helping and surviving during this coronavirus pandemic as well. So stay tuned with us for all of that. Meanwhile, that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Sitterick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director with engineering today by Glenn Alexander. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering, and I invite you to join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.